guard.
Shit, bitch, we're gonna bust up that stage like a high school kegger. We're just gonna outwit LaFour's X-Men style.
Should I call you Logan Weapon X?
No, Wolverine! Snickety, snickety, snowing!
What he's doing is imitating Wolverine's berserker attack with his adamantium claws.
Never would have guessed.
Alright, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
Hello and welcome to a special short episode of Rolling 20s. We are the only show that dared look in Wonder Woman's underwear drawer, and unfortunately I have the slap mark to prove it. I am Jeremy.
Steve.
Jesse.
We are without V for this one. She had some unexpected guests come over, but we're planning on taping another show very soon that she wants to be a part of, and trust me, I think you all will want to listen in. We got together because we didn't want to waste an evening, and a couple of us have managed to play some, at least one video game lately that we thought was worthy of discussion, and the webmaster has been on me about writing a review. So this just seemed like the simple recourse to put everything in one place. How are you guys doing?
Tired.
Ditto.
Screw 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, isn't this heat in California fun?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at rolling_20s. You can email me with any comments, suggestions for the show, or hate mail at mspfreight@yahoo.com. You'll find this show and several others in the Mission Start library on iTunes and on Stitcher. You go ahead and subscribe to those as you please. Also, you'll notice that because it's a non-traditional show, we went a little non-traditional with the music, and we went back to Machina Supremacy. You can find their stuff at machinasupremacy.com. And, of course, you can find their albums on Amazon. Also, we decided to use a little clip from a movie from, I guess, our era called Mallrats. You'll recognize the voices, or the voice of Jason Mewes and the silence of Kevin Smith. it's been a strange week for me as far as video games because I now have this TV that supports 3D, so I'm kind of tempted to go out and get the $20 Game of the Year versions of the Batman games that are out.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, it supports the new 3D tech.
Hmm.
Although there is the idea that I'm spending $40 just to kind of, you know, tickle my inner nerd.
Oh, it just depends on if it's, want or a need.
Kind of falls under both, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every time I turn around and look in the other corner of my living space, I'm reminded I don't really need to do that because I have 3 aerial bots and 3 Stunticons from third-party companies sitting in boxes waiting for their compatriots to come so I can put them in one piece.
Dude, I wish I had the money to get the Stunticons.
I imagine Mason is buzzing around them.
Oh, he had a birthday recently, and he said for his birthday he wants a Transformer. It's like, okay, that's easy. No, I want a Transformer like Daddy's. Okay, now you're being an asshole. But the Stunticons are actually quite a bit smaller than the aerial bots.
No, I've seen reviews on. Yeah, they are quite small, but that doesn't change my mind on. I really want one.
Well, I just got my hands on the drag strip. It's, you know, it's an arm, so of course it's very different than the others. But did you just laugh at drag strip?
No, I yawned, sorry.
Oh, okay. The problem is it has several ball joints, so it's kind of easy to get something dislodged if your thumb slips.
Okay.
You know, it's not a terrible problem. Fortunately, it puts back together really easily, but it is a little frustrating at the elbow joints.
Well, yeah. I'm more worried about some of the smaller bits on it being kind of fragile. I'm assuming they're not.
Yeah, but, you know, it may be the only one like that. All the other prototypes show a more traditional design as far as the joints.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Motor Master and, you know, fully colored.
Yeah, I just get tired of all these people who say, that's not the Motor Master I grew up with. No, that was 30 years ago. Grow up.
Exactly.
You know, for crying out loud, nobody's happy unless Optimus Prime is an old-fashioned cab truck. I haven't seen that on the road except in some broken-down POS in years. Everybody needs to let go at some point. Our childhood was our childhood for a reason.
Yes.
You know, I don't know.
I've been busily killing my childhood for a number of years now.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've gone back and watched the original episodes of Transformers, and they don't hold up well.
Nor does G.I. Joe.
Oh, good. That's even worse.
Cats. I nearly killed myself watching Silverhawks.
Damn.
I'm sorry, that orange bird thing that all it did was whistle. I know I loved it when I was a kid. Yeah,
he was a ninja, and then all of a sudden you find out he's not even comedic sidekick. He's just kind of the retard they put in the corner or something. I don't know.
And falling through space.
You know the biggest disappointment about all the shows from when we grew up, though? You notice how awesome the intro segments are, and then you get to the cartoon, it's like, why don't they ever look like the intro?
Yep.
It looks so awesome for 60 seconds. What's the rest of this? Oh my gosh. Nothing from our childhood holds up, except, oddly enough, the animes we used to watch. Those actually hold up.
Yeah, although Transwar Z really did take on new meaning when I realized that, you know, the female robot fired her tits as missiles.
I don't think anybody can get over that. Even in the modern remakes, that's still there.
And then the fact that before he got his wing upgrades, he used them to fly. That was just, not to mention his missile.
Remind me, wasn't there one of those robots that when you fired the tit missile, it had like handlebars and a windscreen so somebody could ride it?
I mean,
like a person, a pilot, could actually sit on these things.
I don't remember. If they literally promoted riding a missile, I have to wonder. But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me.
Could you imagine, though, what it must have been to be a translator in the 70s when you're staring over this, just going, so what do we call that? Everybody screams something when they do this. What do you call that? Lactate away? Go grand tit? Nipple surprise? What do you call that?
I don't know. That's...
It's a question probably left for the ages.
I believe they called it Fire Missile 1, Fire Missile 2.
This is about the only thing I can get away with. Go lefty! Go righty! Boy, I long for the days when they just yell, "Go Blazing Fist."
Well, that takes on new meaning, too, sometimes.
It's like the nastiest proctologist in the world. At least a couple of us have been playing a game that I know has been out for a while, probably been well-reviewed, but we haven't had a chance to sit down and really talk about it, is the most recent Tomb Raider game. Square Enix put it out after it was sold to them by Crystal Dynamics. It's a third-person adventure game, for sure. It has a couple of FPS aspects, but it doesn't take over. They also added some interesting puzzle elements. It'd take a little time to get through. I picked this up for half price. It was brand new, but it was half price. I got some price matching. And I must admit, when I started playing it, it wasn't until 2 days later. I was not exactly drawn to try to do it. But there I was at 11 p.m. I finally shoved it in the machine after my kids and my wife were asleep, and I started playing it. Next thing I know, I'm wide awake, my eyes are bleeding, I've got headphones on so I'm not disturbing anybody, and I realize it's 1:30, and I didn't want to stop.
Yeah, I think I beat it in 2 days.
It took me a week, but that's because I had both a day job and Rugrats.
Yeah, that for me was days off of work for one day, and the other day was a little hard to go to work the next day, but yeah.
You go into work the next day, you got PTSD, suddenly you feel like shoving a flaming arrow in someone's eye.
Oh, I just feel like doing that at work anyway.
Remember this show when you're put on trial.
Oh, yeah. I guess that could be considered incriminating.
But the game... Let me put this into a little bit more perspective. Steve and I, at least, probably Jesse too, have been gaming on the Tomb Raider franchise since its inception. Wow. I think I nearly just shoved one of my own teeth through my nose. Since its inception way back on the original PlayStation. And the games were good, but as you can imagine, most people that appeared in it were Square. The voice acting was a little rough. The textures, you know, if you remember textures from like 1996, everything looks like a dirty box somehow. You know, boobs were square, butts wiggled oddly, and...
Yeah, that was like, Tomb Raider 3 was like, oh, the boobs aren't square anymore.
Yeah, I may have to find a picture to show you guys what exactly we were looking at back when we were teenagers, because it's nowhere near what we're looking at now.
No.
And this game, after playing interesting games like Tomb Raider and Tomb Raider 2, then disappointments like Tomb Raider 3, which was enough to just kind of kill my whole interest in it. There's been several remakes, prequels, sequels. This was the first game that kind of tore the whole thing away and started over. And I don't know why Crystal Dynamics sold it. This could have been the game that saved their company.
Did they go out of business?
Pretty sure they did.
Ouch.
I would have to look that up later, but I'm pretty sure Crystal Dynamics is an entity no longer exists. They're just a name like LucasArts. This game was surprisingly fun. It sets a really good tone and atmosphere from the beginning, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I've watched it played over the shore between two of my roommates, and I say it really inspired the old school type of gaming, you know, back when, like, imagine, like, Super Metroid type gaming, where you had to backtrack and, you know, come back for some stuff later.
Well, it wasn't just the backtracking. I mean, the first part of the game that you actually get to play, you know, Lara Croft has been marooned on an island with several people on a cargo ship, and she wakes up upside down in this chamber that looks to be about two stories tall in a cave.
Gruesome.
And, right, and she manages to escape, only when she hits the bottom, she gets a bone kind of through the left kidney area that she has to pull out herself.
Ouch.
Yeah, and then she starts...
it's just gruesome.
And then she starts wandering around this cave, which has... I would call it light background music. It's there, but there's so much foreground stuff you don't notice it, which just kind of adds to the creepiness of the whole damn thing.
Not to mention all the dead bodies and whatnot hanging from the ceiling, laying on the floor.
Right, she's hurt, she can't run, and all she has really to go on is a torch. And half the time you're running through this cave, you notice that there's somebody following you. Somebody who claims they can help you, but they keep trying to drag you back into the cave. It's just, it's really ominous.
Yeah.
And then when you get to play the game itself, you find out you're on this island that's not so deserted. It's inhabited by all these crazy people who swear they're worshipping a sun god, but it's full of gear from all different years because apparently different vehicles have been marooned here since World War II. So you're finding B-52 aircraft, you're finding modern weaponry, you're finding like radio towers. There's all kinds of things here that...
Yeah, your first shotgun is a trench gun.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre menagerie. But as the game gets deeper, it's not like the concept gets any worse. The game just gets... It gets more complex, which is really interesting. That's not usually the way these games go. They just give you more gear.
Yeah, honestly, I got to a certain point, and I was like, wow, this game is actually kind of short. And then I exited and said, what? I'm only 33% done? Went in the next day and was like, oh, there's so much more story. And yeah, no, it wasn't a feeling of, oh, this game's almost done because it was, you know, so disappointing. It just seemed like it was heading up to an ending. And then they threw you for a loop, and you're like, oh, okay. And the story didn't lose anything. It wasn't like, oh, it didn't end right there, you know.
Yeah, kept
me engrossed for the entire time.
The game is an interesting style in that it's good for both completionists and for speed players. You know, you can get through the campaign probably in about 7 hours if you just ram through it.
Yeah.
But for those of you that
thing though.
Yeah, for those of you that enjoy puzzles and want to find out of the backstory of the island and half the characters on it, there's all these things to find. There's objects to destroy. There's journals all over the place of like 8 different characters or voices, I guess, throughout the game. There's all kinds of little traces to find of different things, and I mean, you can't even get yourself fully armed unless you manage to find probably 80% of the boxes on the island.
Yeah, although due to there is a level up system, you buy perks with it. And due to that, I actually was fully upgraded, probably by the second to last chapter. I was just breaking open stuff for salvage and everything. I was just like, oh yay, more salvage! Don't care.
I thought it was nifty. One thing I did find out playing through it is, you know how you can upgrade the handgun and the bow and the shotgun and the machine gun?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that the placement of all these parts that you need to find to upgrade is random?
Yes. Yes.
That is such an interesting aspect that this stuff is sprinkled at different points throughout each playthrough.
Yeah. It actually kind of annoyed me because my roommate who played it first... And then, you know, through watching and listening to him play it, I was like, when I saw it go on sale on Steam, I was like, okay, I gotta pick this up. But he was like, oh, you've still got that bow? Why don't you have this bow yet? And I was like, I haven't found the parts for it. I'm sitting on like 2 out of 3 to upgrade this thing. And I'm
no, the proper answer when somebody does that is you just turn around and say, kiss my ass is why I don't have it yet.
I'm not black enough to do that. But yeah, no, he was sitting there going, yeah, you know, because there's a particular part in the story where it actually forcefully upgrades your bow.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, I had that bow for like until I got to the next campfire and then immediately upgraded it because I had all the parts for it and everything. I was like, you suck, sir.
You know, the thing that frustrated me, and it was one of the few glaring potholes in the game, is that you've been buzzing around this campfire now for a few hours. You know, you went out and did a couple things. You come back, and then this fat guy just says, oh, by the way, I found this. I think you can use it. I was here an hour ago. Why didn't you hand it over to me then, you Samoan asshole?
He didn't find it yet.
Oh, no, he found it. He just was being funny. He wanted a hug.
Yeah, he was probably tuning it up for.
You know, I guess one of the few glaring bad points of the game, and it's not a big one, it's just it's one of those things that didn't work for me. The characters that you run into throughout, they're kind of classic archetypes that you find from action films from the 80s and 90s.
True enough.
You know, the professor was kind of, he was pretty transparent. Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they kind of made it that way. And of course, the rest of the group being, no. And it's like, yes! But, you know, it's
let
it's
me put an arrow way. Through him now!
I shot him every opportunity I got. I didn't really care about the ammo. I was actually sitting up after I knew he betrayed you and everything. I was sitting up going, yeah, I've got the sniper modification. Oh, there he is, snipe. Ah, damn it, snipe. Nah, he's still dead, snipe. You know, it just, ugh.
When you do that, does he have any funny animations? Like, hey, what was that?
No, completely oblivious.
Oh. What did you think of the backgrounds? Because the way the island changed over the course of the game, I enjoyed that.
Yes.
I mean, did you go back to different parts during different parts of the game? Because it actually did change the backgrounds depending on the time of day.
Yeah. And the time of day was not exactly set. Some of it was, but some of it wasn't as far as like progressing through the game.
Right.
And yeah, going back, especially after the plane crash to the first kind of village you get to, that was a huge change.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't mean just the environmental change, because, you know, a lot of games worth their salt will have at least a zone that changes the story. Too. But, I mean, when the background, when something as simple happens as rain, I guess, in places where it wasn't before, that's, in video games, that's kind of remarkable.
Mm.
That doesn't happen that often in games where the environment shifts throughout. But the way this started, you got all these rocky crags and this weird mystery going on, and even as you're finding out pieces of the mystery, it just gets weirder. It never allows you to think that you understand entirely what's going on, because it seems like you're dealing with a tribe of madmen. Then you find out that they may not be so crazy, there may be something weird going on. Then you have the demonic samurai running around that just says, okay, now I don't fucking get this at all.
Yeah, that oni, pure evil.
I mean, there's one section of the game where she gets away from people who are trying to capture and kill her. She ends up in this this Japanese-style...
fortress?
A fortress, I guess, would be the right word. Entrance courtyard. And she's surrounded by body parts and viscera and all these things that just says, somebody had a party. Ugh. And then you realize there's something stomping out there that's like 9 feet tall and it's blocking the windows, but apparently doesn't give a crap that you're there.
Not yet.
Oh. It does, because if you don't move fast enough, it will kill you. And yes, if you walk back into the room to go, what the hell was that? It will kill you.
Really? Because I stood there and I watched it. I turned on the special hunter vision so I could get a better look at it, and I saw armor that's just clomping by, and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And as soon as the sound went away, I stood and waited for a minute, because I was certain this thing was going to burst through a wall, but it never came.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe right when you first start, but yeah, when I saw the shadow, I was like, oh,
I need to get somewhere. And then I kind of stopped. I was like, well, what the hell is it? And yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
And, but, and then my roommate was playing and he was like, yeah, don't go back. I was like, I'm not going back. I've already seen it. It's already killed me once. He's like, well, just don't go back because it killed me when I went back. I was
don't
like,
you hate, oh. Don't you hate when people are like that, though? It's like, don't go back. Do I look like a busty teenager running away from a knife-wielding maniac to you?
Well, in the game, yeah.
Just had to toss that one out, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
I also like the play controls on this. They were sharp, and there wasn't really a button that was useless.
Yeah, and honestly, sadly enough, my least favorite gun in the game was probably the shotgun.
Oh, same here.
It's a hit or miss for me. I mean, in like Halo, I love the shotgun. In a lot of other games, I really just don't find a good use for it.
Well, in this game, I don't know about you, but my playstyle was I don't want him to get close enough that a shotgun is a viable weapon.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of... Dude, I just sat there and sniped. I loved headshots. I had headshots so early in the game for an achievement, it was ridiculous. I would take wounds just to get a headshot sometimes, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you feel so justified when you finally get those weapons silenced. You're just like, plink!
Yes. Well, that was actually... When I bought it on Steam, it was on sale and it actually came with the silencer for the pistol, so I was walking around with that sucker immediately silenced. I was just like, what, bow? No.
Was there any section of the game that freaked you out? Because it got to me at certain points.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you were dealing with, like, the Oni or... When she got hurt after kind of paragliding down and got that tree, and she's looking for the for some way, and she's like, oh, I bet it's over in the helicopter, and then you have to walk through the sewers with that open, seeping wound. I was just like... Oh, God.
Let alone the helicopters at the back of a shantytown built by the local madmen.
Yeah, I mean, just the level of ew in that sewer was, I mean, just floating dead bodies, just filth and muck, and yeah. I mean, they did a really good job of letting you know that stuff was nasty.
For me, it's...
Doing it with a seeping open wound, yeah. I was like, infection...
And they even got that shimmer effect that looked like it was bad antifreeze or toxins on top.
Yeah, oil or what have you, yeah.
You know, for me, it was kind of a tie, because there's that shantytown area where all these guys come out of the woodwork occasionally and just bum-rush your ass.
Oh, but, like when you trip the trap and are hanging upside down?
Yeah. But then there's the other part of that. Is during the mountain temple when you're trying to get away and you are jumping from crumbling edifice to crumbling edifice.
Yeah.
You know, that, and the whole time there's gunshots ringing off the side of the cliff as you're leaping over just multiple stories of feet that you cannot see the bottom of this crevasse you're going to plummet into if you don't speed up.
Yeah, they definitely did an excellent job of basically, yes, Lara Croft, here, badass. Just throw it up.
Actually, I thought that was the best part, was that she was not a badass. And that's one of the most universally hated parts of this thing when I read the reviews of different individuals online about this game. A lot of people qualified Lara Croft in this game as a whiner. But
okay,
I
wasn't speaking in the terms of like attitude or anything else. She definitely grew into kind of the Lara Croft that people might be used to from the earlier games, but this is a much younger Lara Croft than what they had, you know. Yeah, exactly. This was her beginning. No, I meant badass as far as the fact that she's had, you know, multiple wounds. Oh God.
She's John McClane.
When you fall it off, when you go to rescue your friend and they you go to escape and you fall off the bridge into the blood and you just come out and it's just red in the eyes, that was pretty intense too. And that entire area down there scared the crap out of me.
Well, I think that's my point, is that you're dealing with a girl that's probably no older than 20, recently lost her only living parent, and she suddenly finds herself in this situation where I think there are hardened military vets who could not take the kind of trauma she took at this point. Mm. So, and nobody, you know, regardless of what people think when their entire identity of a badass is based on 80s films, nobody starts out carrying a chain gun and screaming at the top of their lungs. Everybody has to have at some point that defining moment. Hers just happened to be while she was by herself.
Yeah, and not to mention... I don't know, maybe my definition of badass is different than everybody else's, but, I mean, yeah, she did do a bit of I guess, whining. She was... I don't know anybody in that kind of a situation that wouldn't have been like, why me? Seriously? I mean,
really? College not to mention intern the fact that... First, college intern on our first outing, and their first outing is, you know, met with a shipwreck, ruining an island full of insane mercenaries. Really, I'd be scared shitless too.
Well, it's just one of those things where I don't get it. I mean, a lot of the reviewers just talk about how she needs to shut up and everything, or she needs an ice cream cone. She doesn't need to shut up. She's desperate to survive in this place where just about anything that isn't a tree is trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So and on top of that, she's probably used to being surrounded by people and she's alone. I don't have an issue with this character type. I didn't expect her to wash up on an island and suddenly say, "Now I need a gun."
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that kind of a game. It really wasn't. This was, I mean, honestly, when you start off, you're hunting down animals with a makeshift bow that you find.
On a corpse.
Yeah, on a corpse. And, you know, just so that you have something to eat. I mean, that's kind of the level of survival where they first start you off at. And, yeah, you know, it's not going to be the you know, Lara Croft that, you know, in the first Tomb Raider where she's already been on numerous expeditions and, you know, comes properly equipped and...
Yeah, we're a little less naive to believe that the lady in the tank top and the booty shorts is going to come out without a scratch.
Yeah, and, you know, wearing the stylish bomber jacket but still wearing the booty shorts in, you know, the most frigid of weather.
Yeah. We're a little beyond extreme comics, people.
Yeah. I did not mind that she did not dual wield in this game. Mm. That was probably another complaint some people had. But
do you understand how
the gameplay style? I was absolutely thrilled when I got my sniper/scope for my assault rifle.
Yeah, Jesse, what were you about to ask?
I was saying, do people understand how difficult it is to actually dual wield two semi-automatic pistols?
It doesn't matter. It's cool.
I doubt they really understand how difficult it is. I've done it. I've done it in a target range. And there's two ways it works. If you're going to aim, you're still going to end up shifting your shoulder, so you're not exactly dual wielding. You're alternating. Or you're spraying and praying.
Spraying and praying, I think, is what people are like familiar with.
Yeah, you know, see what happens when you run out of all your ammo in four clips in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean,
and both hands filled.
Yeah.
Oh crap!
Don't get me wrong. I love watching Chow Yun Fat as much as the next Hong Kong action enthusiast, but no.
John Woo is crying somewhere
with some doves.
Yeah. I think the most holy shit moment of the whole game, though, was when you're riding that supply gondola and you end up on that half a cargo ship that seems to be suspended in midair.
Oh, that was just crazy.
I mean, just when it starts coming through the fog, I'm looking at that going, is that the arm of the SDF-1 pointed at? What the fuck is that? You know, and then it slowly comes into view. It's like, oh, these guys have been busy.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, with the flipping and all the rest of that, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, trying to climb up this thing as it's losing cables. I mean, It almost literally was like playing through a really good Bruce Willis action film at some moments. It was great.
Yeah. I think they pretty much nailed this game. I don't really know any other way to say it. They got all kinds of stuff. The puzzles were not very difficult, in my opinion. Although some of the finding quests, I had to look up two secrets. The entire game pissed me off so much because I was doing so well. I was going through, I was finding all the hidden stuff, all the secrets, everything, and I couldn't get two of them. It just, it frustrated me so much. And then, of course, both of them were so freaking obvious when I looked. I was like, you're kidding. I didn't. Oh.
I think the only one I had like that was that one with the bell and the wind tower. That was the only one that frustrated me a bit.
That one took me... I tried doing one way, and then I was like, because she was like, well, why don't you try doing this? I was like, that would be easier, huh?
Yeah.
But no, the one that I was talking about was the golden medallions in the, where you go to find the general's sword.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that.
I could not get that last medallion. I knew where it was.
The one hidden in the light, right? There was one that where you stood and you're staring across a small chasm through a window, and it's like behind a light that keeps shining.
Yeah, well, it was that one, but I even saw it. But of course, you can't shoot through the window. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out. I'm throwing grenades. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. And no, you just walked over to the one door that you had to blow open, which
yeah,
had
you
no
walk
purpose.
Upstairs.
That had no purpose other than like, oh, it's a shortcut to get back up. No, that's specifically so you can shoot the dang thing. I was like, oh, right.
It's okay. Yeah. I think we've all had that one secret where we just go, shit.
Yeah.
But comparing the two Lara Crofts, I really like this one. I like it so much better than the second one because she doesn't have a lot of the arrogance that kind of pervaded 90s characters. But also, her arsenal is Rambo-esque in its completeness.
Mm-hmm. Still remember right before you get the underslung grenade launcher for the assault rifle, I was sitting over there staring at a group of enemies and I'm just going, why don't I have a grenade? It would be done, and no. Instead, I get captured, and then right at the end of that, I'm like grenade launcher.
That's probably one of the niftiest parts of the game, though, is that even though you pick up all your initial gear really early, all the upgrades come steadily over time, and even stuff they haven't revealed comes to you so evenly in increments that the game always feels like it's opening up a new area in these steady sections. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you have the bow forever, and then all of a sudden that thing comes up. By the way, if you hold one button while you're holding it up, it charges up and you get a super shot. I do?
Yeah, and by the way, those enemies that have armor on their heads now so you can't headshot them, yeah, the bow goes through that now.
It does?
Although I have to say, probably one of my favorite things was after I got that rope upgrade was guys and just pulling them off places.
I know, that's so fun, let alone you get that in this mountainous area where there's all these weird chasms and everything you gotta jump to. I remember when I was in that mountain village, I was experimenting, just putting the rope in different places so I could climb up and slide down. It's just, whee!
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome.
And it never uses an arrow, apparently.
No, it doesn't. It costs no ammo to do
actually, that was probably hands down one of the most useful upgrades just due to the fact that it's like, what, you don't have any ammo? Because there were two, three.
But it wasn't quite as much fun as the
disarmed.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as much fun as the flaming arrow, though. That for some reason had splash damage, but it was too much fun to question.
Well, I think once it got the splash damage was when you were actually sticking a grenade on it.
that's not quite splash damage. It's kind of popcorn damage, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I mean, that was truly Rambo-esque. Yes, yeah. I'm putting a grenade on my arrow. What? I have an assault rifle with an undersun and glare launcher? Pish tosh. I want that grenade on my arrow.
Yeah, but to play the game fully, you got to learn how to cycle weapons like you're playing Modern Warfare. I mean, you know, I'm running out of ammo. Click. All of a sudden, machine gun. Okay. That's out of ammo. Click.
Oh, you know. And can I just mention finishers? They did a damn good job.
Yeah, those frankly, those are better than the ones I've seen in Injustice. You know, she doesn't just kind of slap them around and hit them with a motorcycle. She takes these mothers out.
Yeah, I mean, the first time with the shotgun where she just, like, splattered somebody's brains, I was like, oh, nice. Okay, that's pretty nice. Then I tried it with the assault rifle, and she kicks the guy down and just, you know, executes him. I was like, oh, nice. Then I find out, oh, no, there's another one where she literally just plants it in the middle and just bisects him with the assault rifle. I was like, okay, yeah, let alone
the first ones you get when she uses the climbing axe. I mean, holy shit, this bitch is vicious. Oh,
yes, or just the rock.
Yeah.
Or the arrow to the eye, and it's always fun.
I know, but when you first use them and she's using the rock, I had to stop from yelling because my wife is asleep, my baby's asleep in the same room, I've got earphones on so it's ear-splitting, and I almost just kind of yelled at the top of my lungs, ROCK BOTTOM! ROCK BOTTOM! ROCK BOTTOM!
Stabs people through the calves with an arrow. It's like, no, that's not even deadly, you know, yeah, per se. That's just like, no.
We have just kind of been yammering back and forth, but I do want to say, if you are at all a fan of action or puzzle genre games, this is well worth the money. Even like brand new at $30, I would step out and get this right now.
Definitely. I personally have not tried the multiplayer. I know my roommate did a bit.
Multiplayer is kind of off from what I understand, because you are basically playing these... You're still playing the same control scheme, unfortunately, which wasn't really meant for combat.
Yeah. I could see it working out, but yeah. That's mainly one of the reasons why I didn't really try it. I was like, you know what? I like this game for its single player. I didn't really buy it for the multiplayer, so...
Yeah.
Well, another point to take in is that if you're, you know, some of the older generation of gamers out there who are familiar with the older style of the games of back in, you know, original Nintendo days or Super Nintendo, where you just had to go back and forth, the whole discovering new things in the same area.
Yeah.
Is another, thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I enjoyed playing through it. Even the ending was worthwhile.
I have to admit, I got a little bit of a Mega Man flashback when you end the game with the torch.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, you didn't, no gun, no. Not even, not the knife, really.
All come down to your first item.
The very first item. I was like, you know what, that's poetic. I am satisfied with that.
Well, we do recommend the game. Before I let you guys go, I do want to say I was reading through comics this week.
Mm-hmm.
And all new X-Men number 13 had a holy shit moment I did not expect.
Oh, what was that?
It was widely leaked online that the first couple pages of this issue was Cyclops and Wolverine staring at Jean Grey, who's floating in the middle of a Firebird with Mystique, Sabretooth, and a knocked-out Lady Mastermind.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, the young Cyclops is just saying, what's happening? And Wolverine is just kind of muttering, not again, not again, not again. You go through the whole issue, and I'm like a lot of people. I saw the preview and just said, Lady Mastermind pulled a fast one on. Good for her! Basically, the young X-Men have managed to encounter Mystique's crew in the middle of a buy. They were trying to buy the island of Madripoor from Hydra.
Huh.
I still don't know the purpose yet. This is Mystique's master plan of some sort. But to make a long story short, you know, the new X-Men, or the all-new X-Men plus Wolverine and Kitty Pryde are taking on this trio, and the trio is holding their own for the most part. But in the back of it all, Lady Mastermind spots this very young Jean Grey, the girl she recognizes as the person who ends up getting her father killed, and then just projects this image of Jason Winger behind her, and she turns around and just says, what? And the image says, you were never more powerful or more gracious than you when you were with me. Suddenly her eyes flash, and boom, there's an explosion of fire, and sure enough, there's two eyes in that fire staring at everybody.
Oh, shit.
So I'm looking at that just going, that wasn't a trick. This may really be happening. Someone call Tony Stark and slap him. So, you know, a bit of a spoilers there, but that was really one issue where I just looked at the first pages going, nah, that can't be what it looks like. Oh shit, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Oh man. Not to mention the fact that they just got done with...
Oh, great. Is this their way of keeping the Phoenix around?
Keeping it around?
Sense.
I'm still of the mind they never got rid of it. It just went to it just went to sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had to laugh when, you know, Tony Stark always said, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was responsible for doing this. Or other people keep reminding him that he was the one that split the Phoenix Force and so on and so forth. But then he has the sheer audacity to say, well, I did, you know, it's dead. It was destroyed in the end. Are you nuts? How do you destroy a cosmic force?
Well, still, I mean...
rebirth!
To make a long story short, it looks like the Phoenix inhabitation of Jean Grey just took a turn.
Oh,
that
kind of
makes me wonder if Hope's going to get involved again.
I don't think Hope's going to get involved again. She's now very involved in Cable and X-Force. I think this raises the issue we had at the very first part of... You know, the very first episode of this show, if she has all this knowledge of what's going to happen to her in the future, and she was inhabited by this ultimate cosmic being, wouldn't she know enough about her future to avoid it?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, well, it does raise the question, though, that if Professor X and his original five X-Men do they even forget what happens, or are they just the ultimate sleeper agents of the Marvel Universe? They know so much about what's going to happen, they're faking everybody.
That's a big one to sell.
It's a tough one to sell, but considering the way the X-Men roll and how many times Bishop and Rachel Gray and Cable save their lives, it's not outside of question.
No.
But that does lead into one other thing I thought about while I was at work today, is that Bishop's mission may not be over. If you remember, his mission after betraying the X-Men was to kill the red-headed mutant messiah who used the Phoenix Force and destroyed like 3 million lives.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things where I'm thinking about how I'm going to bring this up in the show, and then I thought about that. It's like, oh, shit. A redhead with a firebird.
Yeah.
Let's hope Uncanny X-Force stays on the other end of things for a little while.
I don't know. I still go back to that whole Flash animation thing with the X-Men and everything where they're sitting there talking about how Scott's whining about how his wife is either all-powerful, or dead.
Or dead.
The most famous line, well, it's true, Scott, she usually does have the fortitude to stay dead long. And I'm sitting there just cracking up with the use of fortitude.
Yeah.
My
wife's either all-powerful, crazy, or dead. I just can't take anymore. Don't worry, darling. We'll just make sure she stays in the dead category this time.
Yeah, this is not going to end well.
No, let alone in 2 months they start the Battle of the Atom, where the future X-Men come back and tell the current X-Men that the past X-Men have to go back to the past or time's going to be destroyed.
Oh, excellent. It's one of them probably already dead.
What the hell is up with the X-Men in time? It's like every time someone winds a watch, there's another X-Man coming from the future.
Well, I think... Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of a... It's like, well, did Bishop start it? I can't even make that statement now.
Did Liam Neeson unzip his pants and break the space-time continuum? Oh, my goodness. But we'll have to leave that for another time, although I think after we get done with the next two shows, we're going to have to put All New X-Men back on the radar, because it's been 6 issues and a lot of stuff has gone down.
Apparently.
Yeah. But we got to catch up with V, because she said she read the first volume of Empowered, and I got to know what she thinks of that.
That is going to be an interesting conversation.
She's either going to thank us, or she's going to kill me.
I vote the latter.
You are just an ultimate asshole today.
You're welcome.
You can eat You can eat my chocolate ring piece.
He had his nap interrupted twice.
Cats?
No, phone.
You can turn that off,
No, I need to wake my ass up for this. And I can't, ignore my mother. Of course, it gets worse.
That's a whole different conversation. Okay, I think we should call it there before I say something really insulting. So we will hopefully roll again real soon. We were going to record in the next couple days. We're going to do our pop culture profiling, and we are finally going to get to the show that we have teased about forever. Tease in an appropriate word. When we talk about superhero sexuality, what happens when people with superpowers attempt to get busy, and will anyone survive?
It's if it's another superhero or villain.
Depends. suddenly I have that image of Psylocke or Colossus going after Jubilee, and there's going to be a red stain somewhere.
I don't know. Jesse was the one pointing out to me that the thing is essentially an earth elemental.
Okay, we're going to have to hold off on this, because I was about to ask 3 different questions that I think should be saved for the show. All right, so I invite you to roll with us again soon. I am Jeremy.
Steve.
And Jesse.
Remember to follow us on Twitter at @rolling_20s. Thank you, and have a great one. I almost said the wrong thing about the thing semen.